Who builds a new house every 7 minutes?
What new properties have been imparted to paper?
How does Excelsior help bring the temperature down?
Why is this product descended from Surrey Top Fringe?
Industry on Parade, Peabody Award winner for public service, produced on film each week by the National Association of Manufacturers.
Meet a couple of Lafayette, Indiana businessmen whose proud boast is that their organization erects one out of every 48 new homes being put up in the entire country. Here's how they do it at the National Homes Corporation, by applying to home building the same principles of modern manufacturing that have made our other industries the most productive in the world. Pre-cut lumber is set in a framing jig and nailed together in nothing flat. This is a ceiling section being put together on the floor. Wall sections are insulated even before the sheathing is added. They've devised hundreds of such methods of eliminating waste of time, labor, and materials. The gang nailer, which fastens the wall surfacing material to the frame with as many as 24 nails at a time. Parts have already been bonded with waterproof adhesive. Now watch how they cut out a window opening. The 2x4s outlining the opening have been attached to the underside. So they lower a router into the space to be opened and, guided by the 2x4s, cut out the window area in well under a minute. The company operates like this through most of the year, turning out the components of a whole house every 7 minutes. Window frame is set in place as the installation of inner sheathing continues. It was only 15 years ago that the founders of the company decided cars are made like this, and airplanes, and virtually everything else. Why not homes too? And so, using capital risked by investors, they started erecting the big plant, buying expensive machinery, hiring personnel, and training them in this new home building technique. The result is an outstanding example of how our free enterprise system works. Homes for people who need them at prices they can afford to pay. Increased employment, not affected by variables like the weather. And ultimately, a return on their investment for those who put their savings into this venture. Many other would-be mass production home builders have gone broke for lack of managerial know-how or other reasons. Dozens of loading bays accommodate the fleet of nearly 300 trailer trucks, which rush the houses to the building sites. For each truck, one house, and thus far in the company's comparatively short history, it has delivered well over 100,000 houses. Each truck is dispatched so as to arrive at the building site at the start of the workday. One more move to eliminate that very important cost factor, wasted time. The factory-built homes and other structures come in a number of styles and sizes. Some have basements, some just a crawl space, and still others are erected on an insulated concrete slab. It depends on the preferences or finances of the buyer and the nature of the lot. There's a wide choice of outside finishes too. Asbestos shingles, cedar shakes, weatherboarding, or masonry. These too are installed at the site. A great many things have to be done at the site, like putting on roofing. But 2/3 of each house has been assembled at the factory with factory efficiency and economy. And the results are as easy on home buyers' budgets as they are on the eye.
Competition, the driving force in our business system, compels a business to satisfy the customer. Unless a company can keep pace with its competitors on price, quality, and service, it is eventually forced out of business. Competition benefits all customers continually, through lower prices, higher quality, and improved services. The business that pays its bills and makes a profit is a healthy business and is in a position to provide increasing benefits for employees, shareholders, and customers.
At a plant in Cincinnati, great rolls of smooth craft paper undergo processing that will impart to them qualities not usually associated with paper. First, the paper is softened with water, then treated with synthetic resin. Next step here at Cincinnati Industries Incorporated is to send the paper over a creping drum, which crepes or crinkles it diagonally. After a second application of plastic resin, the paper is creped again, this time in the opposite direction. After being dried and re-rolled, the paper, called X-crepe, is ready for a wide variety of jobs it couldn't possibly have filled in its original state, jobs formerly allotted to materials like cloth, cork, and rubber. In the plant's testing laboratory, we see some of the characteristics taken on by the paper. For example, great stretchability and form ability. In being creped, the paper has been reduced in surface area by almost 25%. This gathering together permits the material to expand in all directions under tension that causes ordinary craft paper to part. Whereas untreated craft paper lets water soak right through, the new product holds liquids like a dish. This has led to its widespread use in packaging military supplies for overseas shipment. There is a drastic increase of strength, too, as seen in an impact test in comparison with burlap. What does the unique paper mean to the average citizen? A great deal, as in the laminated plastic countertop with stretchable X-crepe as one element in the laminate. Such products can be given almost any shape desired. Another application, disposable, lint-free, chamois-like sheets for use in washing smooth surfaces. Research constantly develops new products, but it also makes drastic improvements on old ones.
Driving up to this modern factory in Phoenix is an automobile equipped with one of the products the factory turns out. It's a small, portable air cooler which utilizes the cooling effects of evaporation. The compact little unit, when unplugged from the dashboard, can be used for spot cooling anywhere, in house trailers, homes, even in small airplanes. Inside the plant, we see the preparation of one of the components of the unique air coolers, chemically treated Excelsior made of aspen wood. The Excelsior will serve to disperse water for easy evaporation into the atmosphere. Meanwhile, the boxes and other parts of the units are being fabricated. Here, it's louvered panels being stamped out on a punch press. In addition to the little portables, the company makes larger coolers, ranging up to models with a volume of 15,000 cubic feet of air per minute. Parts are finished with baked-on, rust-resisting enamel before assembly. Into each box goes a water reservoir, a recirculating pump for reuse of the water without any water connection, and of course the necessary electrical wiring. Next, they install either a fan or a blower to push the chilled air into the area to be cooled. All this may sound complicated, but actually the cooler is much simpler and consequently less costly than a conventional air conditioner. And down here in the very dry Southwest, the slight increase in humidity caused by the machines is almost as welcome as their cooling action. In the shipping department, we see some of the larger units we mentioned, of the type used for industrial plants, schools, and other large structures. All utilizing a natural cooling principle as old as the world.
In America, The overwhelming majority of employers are doing their sincere best to work in harmony with their employees. They treat employees as human beings and do everything possible to preserve their dignity in all situations. Employers continually seek ways to make their employees' work more satisfying and to give them the greatest opportunity for personal advancement. These are some of the reasons America has the greatest employer-employee team in the world.
Industry on Parade visits an orchard of newly planted nut trees at Rochester, New York, with the man who had this orchard planted, industrialist Charles Schlegel. Though Mr. Schlegel is in his 90s and the trees won't bear nuts for 15 years, he's confident he'll be around to take part in the first harvest. He's equally optimistic about the future of his business, and here looks over construction of a new central plant to replace sizable factories currently in operation. The products turned out by the Schlegel Manufacturing Company, well, they are many and varied, for this is one company that has never stopped changing with the times. In large part, the output consists of specialized, narrow, woven products of the loom. Weather stripping, weather seal, automobile windlace, that sort of thing. The very first product Charles Schlegel turned out 70 years ago was hem bindings for women's skirts to keep them from wearing out as they dragged along the ground. Our cameraman reporter asked Mr. Schlegel if he had any of the old hem binding around to be photographed, and he said, "No, we don't worry about what's past. We look ahead." And so he has always done. When fashion raised women's skirts, he turned to fringe for Surrey tops, then to book straps for schoolboys. And now, among other things, it's the material used around automobile windows to eliminate rattling and prevent unwanted drafts. The founder checks on production with Sun Carl, the company president, an engineer who helped design many of the machines used in the firm's three plants. This machine, for example, forms a weather seal for combination windows, an aluminum and fabric insulator which permits windows to slide easily while keeping drafts out. Three generations of management who have kept Rochester citizens employed through good times and bad simply by keeping up with the times. This grand old man of industry has always followed the maxim that when you're through changing, you're through.